I give you welcome to the midweek meeting here at Crosslinks Chapel. May the Lord richly bless you, those of you who are here in the hall tonight, and also those of you who are listening on. You're most welcome to listen on as well. May the Lord richly bless this time as we turn to the Word of God, and also as we turn later to prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Let us pray. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we bow our hearts before thee this evening hour, and we come to worship thee, to bless thy great and glorious name, for thou art worthy. And when we think of thy name, we draw comfort from it. O Lord, how wonderful is thy name! We thank thee that thou art a Father, and we would address thee tonight as our Father. May we continue to make our approach to thee as children in that humble way, looking unto thee in simplicity this evening hour. Cleanse us from our latest sins, even of this day. And may we know the peace and the comfort of sins forgiven. And at the end of this day, as we turn to thy word, as we commune with thee in prayer, oh, may we know comfort within, strengthening of our souls. May we be aware of thee. It is not just a gathering like the world would have. We meet with thee. O Lord, draw near and touch our hearts. Hear us, O Lord. Bless us here in the hall and all listening on tonight. Bless our hearts. Hear us now. We thank thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We turn to our first praise, Psalm 42, and we're going to hear sung verses 8 through to verse 11, and the tune is Notting Hill. His loving kindness, yet the Lord command will in the day, his song with me by night to God, by whom I live our praise. Psalm 42. Verses 8 to 11, and the tune is Notting Hill.
Thank you.
Let us turn to the Word of God, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're going to sing, rather we're going to turn, and I'm going to read from verse 97 through to verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 97 through to verse 104. Let us hear God's word. O, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Tonight we come to verse 97. We begin this new section of the psalm. O, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. O, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Dear congregation, this book has brought men to their knees in conviction, has made men wise unto salvation, comforted the believer in affliction, given them direction in days of perplexity, supported them in times of illness, and many other things. It has given the believer hope and the prospect of heaven. As we think of God's word, it is God's word, and he speaks to many a soul, and the response of some has been to love the Lord, but also love his word. It's the Lord speaking, isn't it, through his word. No wonder the psalmist says, how love I thy law. And you know, when we find ourselves focusing that the Lord is speaking to my soul, that can cultivate the grace of love within. Many a man, a believer, has had sweet moments meditating further on the word. They love the word, and then they're found meditating on it. You see, love is cultivated within the soul, and it drives one. It has this effect that they're found spending some time thinking upon it. Well, let's open this up tonight, and just two words. First of all, love, and secondly, meditation. Love, and secondly, meditation. O, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. First of all then, love. Here is love for God's word. The psalmist has a heart for the word. It has moved him. He's been listening. You recall how Jeremiah's heart was moved at the word in Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were... And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And you see there in the heart of Jeremiah this activity. There had been a receiving, and it was to the satisfaction of his soul. He knew that joy within. The word was before him, and joy sprang up in his soul. Have you known such activity recently, the word being applied, the Holy Spirit having taken and applied it to your soul? Such activity in the heart of Jeremiah. We see activity in the heart of the psalmist here. It is loved, valued, and esteemed. Notice the psalmist here. Oh, how love I thy law. It was esteemed by him. He counted it as precious. Job said, rather in Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary fruit. You see the effect there of the word, and how there that one, he so esteemed the word more than his necessary food. He was so taken with it. Oh, for days, hours like that, when we're so taken with the word, it's more important to us in the mind at that hour than our food. The word is esteemed, it is valued, and it is loved. By nature, men by nature will not love God's word. And we see that so plainly in this country. So many will not have a love for the word of God. They may have a natural love towards others, and we witness that, and we can meet some unconverted men and women who are very loving. They have a natural love, and they show love, but they don't love the word. They don't love God. There's no true love to God. There may be a natural love, and sadly, a sinful love. How many love sin? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is, not in a good sense. Remember those words, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. That's a good sense. But the Apostle Paul there is showing a bad sense. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's driving them is sin, and they so focus on sinful things, and it's their love. The apostle goes on, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You see, a sinful love there. A love for sin. There's no true love for God and his word. His word is despised, mocked. In times past, but also recently, it has been burnt. It's been banned from libraries in this country. And we could go on. How the word is despised. What a blessing the word is. And we who love the Lord. How the word has done us so much good. We mourn over the fact, do we not, that so many hate the word. There's no love for it. It's been banned from certain places. It's not promoted as it ought to be. However, it is not bound. And we're so thankful for that. If it was bound, you would have no desire tonight for the Lord. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening on. But the word is not bound. The Holy Spirit has taken it and used it in your soul. And they sprang this love for it. In effect, recalling love is put within. There has been the new birth. There's this grace of love. The ungodly know nothing about this grace of love. In the soul. But we do. What did John write in 1 John 3 verse 14? Here's a proof text to show it's only the believer, the true believer, who has this grace, this spiritual grace from the Lord in the soul. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You see there the new life, and what's the evidence there? It's love. There's not this grace of love in the hearts of the unconverted. They may have a natural love. We see it often. There's a sinful love, but not this grace of love, but an effectual calling. This grace is wrought in the soul by the Holy Spirit. There's love to God, and there's love to the word. It goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Just pause. Think of God. He has spoken through his word. We love God. So it's natural to consider that we love the word. Now we see an effect of the love the psalmist had in his soul in the second part of the verse. And we'll come back to this in a moment. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, love to the word of God. He loves it. He knows the Lord is speaking to his soul. And so he thinks upon it. Where there is love, there will be meditation. I think of my wife often. Why? Well, it's simple, isn't it? Because I love her. If I didn't love her, I wouldn't think often of her, would I? We love the word, so we think of it. We love the Lord, do not we think often of him? And we want to hear his voice. We love this book. Now there is a great affection here. Just notice the psalmist here. Oh, how love I thy law. Oh, how love I. It's not just said very quietly. Not just said as a matter of fact, is it? There's such a warmth in the soul. And blessed are the times when we know this warmth within. And we say, oh, how love I thy law. You think of that word, oh. Speaks of the activity in the soul, doesn't it? It's not just said in a plain way, matter of fact. Oh, how love I thy law. The soul is stirred, there's warmth within the soul. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. That God's people have a great love to his word, yea, such a hearty affection, as cannot easily be expressed. But it's there. Oh, how love I thy law. With this love, and it's a precious thing, isn't it? When love flows to the Lord and to the Word, and we find ourselves wanting to read on, and we want to meditate on those words, it may be the Lord has so spoken to our soul and aroused our faith, and we think on, or aroused our love, and we think on. Warmth in the soul. But it's not always the case, is it? Oh, that I would say it every day. Oh, how love I thy law. But there's not always this warmth, is there? We've seen it often, have we not? In this psalm, the psalmist has been on the ground. He feels like he's in the dust, as we have seen. He's a heavy heart. But oh, here at the moment, he knows this warmth. But it's not always the case, is it? One can know what it is to be cast down. We thought of that in the opening psalm. We heard some. One can know depression, and there can be this numbness in the mind. And yes, one wants to so have such a hard pull to the Lord and his word, but there's a numbness. And that can be a cause, but then there's another cause. And this is the one that affects me so often. What is it? It's sin. All sin troubles the soul, but oh, for a heart to be warm. You know, on a cold winter's day, you have a cup of soup, and you begin to have the soup, and you feel this warming feeling as the soup goes down. What a precious thing when you feel this warming feeling as the word is going in, the Holy Spirit is applying it. It's a precious thing, isn't it? The warming feeling. You may have felt cold, you may have been struggling, but then the Holy Spirit takes the word and there's this warming and you find your heart being drawn to the word of God and your affection is stirred and you say with the psalmist, oh, how love I thy law. Oh, to know more warming. Oh, Holy Spirit, blow across my soul. Apply the word. Give ourselves to him. Pray for his ministry. Quench not the spirit. Oh, be focused. Oh, how we need to be so focused. We need to be focused on the Lord and his word. Oh, how love I thy Lord. Stirred his soul. Oh, to know this stirring. This warmth with him. It's something he knows within. It's experimentally known, isn't it? Oh, how love I thy law. There's love in the heart for the word. The word is having an effect on him. And he speaks of it to others. Oh, how love I thy law. You know what comes to my mind just at this moment is those words in Malachi 3 verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. This holy, godly conversation. And we ought to be known for it more and more. The word having effect on our souls. Oh, how love I thy law. Well, let's consider further reasons in light of the word why God's word is loved. We may come to a conclusion after this part tonight and we'll come back another time to the second part. But let's consider them further reasons in light of God's word, why God's word is loved. First of all, it has made me wise to salvation, and I know the gospel which I read therein. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, we read, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here's Paul speaking to Timothy. And he speaks that testimony about Timothy. "You've known the scriptures from a child, and they were able to make thee wise unto salvation, and now didst become wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You were made wise. You came to understand the gospel, and you believed the gospel, having believed in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And as we think of that, how the Lord has used the word for the converting of our soul, as we see in Psalm 19, that our eyes were opened and we saw the Saviour by faith. We were blessed through the word. The Holy Spirit ordinarily uses the word, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. He's used the word so often. He used it in my heart, your heart. And we love this book, do we not? Because we were made wise unto salvation. And we came to understand the gospel. I love this book. Because I read the gospel in this book. The gospel of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this book. Do not we love the gospel? You know, it's good to often pause and just reflect upon Calvary. It's so important we reflect on Calvary each week, each day. Have you reflected on Calvary today? You do it now. What your Saviour did for you. Such love, He loved you unto the end, all the way. And you read of it in the Word, do you not? Oh, you love this book. Because you know this book has been used to make you wise unto salvation. And you read this wonderful gospel therein. Secondly, another reason why God's word is loved. I hear the voice of my beloved within. I hear the voice of my beloved within. You know how it is at times. We've already touched on this. We can be going through the word and there doesn't seem to be this activity that we would so desire when we are focused on the Lord. You know what I mean? When you focus on the Lord, you so want to be in the Word, don't you? You so want to be meditating upon it. You so want to be taken up with the Word, your heart aflamed in view of the Word. But it's not always the case. But there are those times when you begin to read and you begin to listen. You know what I mean? You can read your daily reading and not be listening. I remember at school, the head teacher once said to the whole school who were gathered in the hall, "I can make you quiet, but I cannot make you listen." And sometimes we don't listen, even when it comes to the word. But sometimes, you know what it's like? You're reading, it's the voice of my beloved. He's speaking powerfully. And sometimes, like me, you may think, "Well, Lord, thou didst so clearly tell me that's what I was to do, but providence hasn't unfolded yet." But don't question, the Lord will, in his providence, make plain. He will show to you that what he said to you in the word will be fulfilled. It's a precious thing, isn't it? When we hear the voice of the Lord is speaking, the heart is stirred. And your faith is increased, and you're looking to the Lord, and you're found at the feet of Jesus in a spiritual way. So to Solomon 2 verse 8, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, is the voice of my beloved." That's a precious thing, isn't it? And it's a precious thing when we're in the Word and the Lord is speaking to us. "The voice of my beloved, Lord Jesus, thou art speaking to my soul. Thou hast aroused my love, and I love thee, and I love the Word." And you read on. Is not this book loved? Because we hear the voice of Jesus in the Word. Which is the Word of the Lord. Thirdly, it's loved because it's convicted me. It's loved because it has convicted me. Turn with me to verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. You see, the psalmist, he was going astray, the Lord's hand was upon him, drew him back. He was going away from the word, but now he's keeping the word. He had been convicted. He'd been convicted of his wrong. Now he's seeking to do that which is right. You see, repentance, gospel repentance here. There's a purpose and endeavour after new obedience. And we see that, do we not, in verse 67? But now have I kept thy word. Yes, this purpose and endeavour having been convicted. And I can honestly say to you, I love this book because it convicts me. Now sometimes one may hear a verse. Now I'm not going to have that today. But then it comes back. And one's convicted. And we're brought to our knees. We confess our sin before the Lord. We may shed tears. And then we know that restoration of the smile of God's face. And peace filling the soul. And we love the Lord who has spoken to us through the word. And we love his word. It has convicted me. That's a cause why the word is loved. Now with the unconverted, they may be convicted. Oh, I'm not having the word. And they walk away. But let me ask you. You all love this book because it convicted you. For in effectual calling, you were convicted of your sin. And then you were shown the suitableness of Christ. Are you not thankful? But the Lord in his love used the word to convict you. We love this book. If we were never convicted, we could never have the assurance we're a Christian. But we've been convicted. Therefore we love whom the Lord chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he uses the word. He loves us, we love him, and we love his word. And when we're found at his feet, we thank him, Lord, I thank thee that thou hast used the word again to convict my soul. Fourthly, it is loved because it has comforted me. Oh, how love I thy law. It has comforted me. Turn back to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's all there, isn't it? See the word, this quickening. And it's brought comfort. Comfort in affliction. We know what affliction is, but we're thankful also we know what comfort is in affliction. The comfort that comes from God, who is the God of all comfort. And every one of us, I am sure, can say tonight and look back, Lord, thou hast comforted me. I can remember a time I was crying, I was in sorrow, I was cast down, but just a few words came, just a verse maybe, or that chapter. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me. Remember the word unto thy servant, verse 49, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Remember, Lord, why? Because he had known the comfort. Do not we love this book? Because there's nothing like the voice of the Lord to comfort us in affliction. There's nothing like it, is there? A Christian can be a help, especially when they give us a verse of scripture. And they show by their own testimony how the Lord has helped them. But oh, most of all, isn't it? It's the Lord speaking to the soul. And we feel this comfort in affliction. Why? Because the Lord speaks to the soul. Do not we love this book? And we mourn over those at this time. And we pray for them who are suffering in this country. Because of the coronavirus, but also because of cancer. Because of the loss of jobs. We mourn and we grieve when we're moved. For those who do not love the Lord because they don't know the comfort of the scriptures. We can be in straits. We can be perplexed. But how the Lord comes to us and comforts us. Oh, we love this book. And oh, that many more would come to love the word of God. What a help it would be at this time. To many who are without Christ. If they came to love the Lord, they would know the comfort in affliction. We love this book. The Lord is so skilled to come alongside. He is the consolation of Israel. He comes to encourage, to console. How the Lord so uses his word. We love him and we love the words of his lips, don't we? It has comforted me. Fifthly, it is loved because it has directed me. Turn down to the next section, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, where I'm to stand, what I'm to believe, and a light unto my path, the way I'm to go. You think it's a lamp and a light. It implies there's darkness around. We consider the darkness around, but the Lord directs us through his word. The word is a lamp. I remember as a child having a memory verse, it taught them to colour in, and it was this one I can remember clearly. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I coloured in the letters, then I coloured in the candle and the lantern. The Lord shows us the way. He directs us. He leads through his word. And we love this book, how the Lord speaks in a... There's particular verses the Lord has so impressed upon me this last year, and they've been so plain. I'm still waiting for the unfolding of providence, but I believe the Lord will fulfill his word to direct and guide. He will. Sometimes it's not straight away, but where he speaks, he will fulfill. How the Lord directs us through the word. He directs those of us who are married through the word. There's a special day coming up for me and Sharon soon. Precious words to be found within this book to direct us and to guide us. For those who are single, direction in the Word of God. Young people, look to the Word of God as you think about the future. For the widow, there is direction in the Word of God. For the children, there is direction in the Word of God. You remember Paul, he wrote to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You who love the Lord, you keep looking to the Word, for there is direction. We love this book, because the Lord uses it to lead us on in his most holy and wise providence. What a comfort that day is. We think of the providence of God. We're led in his providence, and he uses the word to guide us and direct us. Sixthly, the word is love because it strengthens me. Psalm 119, verse 28, we see the psalmist there in such distress. He was so weak. But then he felt the blessing of the word. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. My soul melteth for heaviness. You know what that's like? You wouldn't find such words like that in something written by man, would you? But in the Lord's sweet hymn book, we have these words. My soul melteth for heaviness. Because the Lord knows where we find ourselves at times. And he wants us to sing praise unto him that we have a heavy heart. But thou dost come and strengthen me. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. You know what it is? That melting feeling. One hour you may feel strong, but then your heart is melting. In Psalm 22, my heart is like wax. Yes, chiefly we consider there Christ, as he felt the wrath of God, but consider also the psalmist. He was struggling, his heart was like wax. So descriptive the psalms are, aren't they? But we love this book because the Lord uses it to strengthen us. And the psalmist knew it. Verse 28, strengthen thou me according unto thy word, the promise of thy word, and use the word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew thy strength, their strength. There's the promise. And the Lord therefore will use his word. And we love this book. We felt strengthened, haven't we? And people here, years ago, I used to have Weetabix every day. My dad used to say to me, my mum, it'd make you strong. So I used to have three or four. I think it had some effect, not as I desire perhaps, but you have something to make you strong, but the word of God can strengthen us. and how the Lord has strengthened us. You can be numb within, your heart can be perplexed, you know this melting within the soul, but then suddenly, just a verse, you know how it is, just a verse comes, and you find your eyes just widening a little, your heart lifting up, the strengthening within. We love this book. It has strengthened many. Seventhly, it is loved, for it has aroused my hope of heaven. It has aroused my hope of heaven. Remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You consider the situation he was in. What was it to be? You know, a lady in a shop may get into a strait. That garment or that garment? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's in a strait. What's it to be? To be with Christ, which is far better? Or to be here on earth a little longer? Oh, see how his heart was aroused. It aroused forever his hope of heaven. To be with Christ, which is far better. And how many a saint has had their hope aroused through those facts? To be with Christ, which is far better. You know, I've said this often through this season of great affliction. Have we not been taught how much wonderful, how much better rather is heaven? And have we not at times so longed for heaven and for Emmanuel's land? And we're assured that it is a better place because of the word. And the Lord has used this book to arouse our hope of heaven. And we love this book. My dear granny, every Monday when I used to go, she said, turn to John 14 because it aroused her heart as she thought of heaven. We love this book. So precious how the Lord can strengthen the soul to make us look forward and long to be with Jesus. Eighthly, it is love, for it has promoted me to worship the Lord. It has prompted me rather to worship the Lord. Psalm 122 verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How the Lord has spoken. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We come to times of worship. And when we're reading, when we hear the call to worship, the verse from the pulpit, it can have such an effect on us. That's why a number, including myself, believe in a call to worship. Let us hear the word of God at the beginning of worship. A call to worship our great God, to be at the feet of Christ. We love this book, for it has prompted us to worship the Lord. Ninthly, it is love, for it has stirred my soul to go and serve him. I think of those words a few weeks ago in Isaiah. They're powerful, aren't they? What are they? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Woe is me, for I am undone, Isaiah felt. But then, who will go for us? Here am I, send me. How many a missionary's gone to the mission field, having heard those words? It has stirred me to go and serve the Lord. Remember those words of Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house. It's stirring words, isn't it? And we love that verse. For it stirs our hearts to live for Christ, to serve him, to be spent for him. Precious words. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the soul has been stirred there in the heart of Joshua. Up he is, on his feet. His life is before him. How many days, how many years, he knows not. But he's going to serve the Lord. And do not we love this book when we're aroused in the soul and we find ourselves, Lord, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all, and my soul. I will serve thee. We will serve the Lord. And it's blessed with a focus like that, isn't it? How empty the world is compared to serving the Lord and living for his glory. And then tenthly and finally, we must come to a conclusion. It has stirred my soul to love the brethren. It has stirred my soul to love the brethren. We've already thought tonight, to love to the Lord. What is an aid to assurance, love to the brethren? 1 John 4 verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Love in the soul. And are we not thankful for this book that encourages love? Yes, we may be tested, but oh, we find ourselves loving the brethren. And that, in turn, aids assurance, doesn't it? Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. When we find ourselves having this love to the brethren, that helps us to focus. Yes, I'm the Lord's. I do have this true grace within. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh, there's so little love in this country. Why? True love, I mean. The grace of it. Why? Because the book is not loved. And God is not loved. If there was a greater love for God and a love for this word, there would be more love in this country. But we love this book because it stirs our soul to love the brethren. Oh, how love I thy law. It causes me to act. And it causes me to live for God's glory. Well, may the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.